Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good afternoon. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is Wednesday, April the 10th. 5 days away from my favorite day of the year.
Why would you bring that up? I mean, why would you? I mean, I was in a reasonably good mood before our topic today, and you've depressed me now.
Are you opposed to paying taxes like a good American citizen? Are you, in fact, a communist socialist?
No, a communist socialist would want more taxes. No, here's my stance on taxes. All right.
You only have 26 minutes.
I know, and I'll make this quick. I don't mind paying my taxes. I don't like it, but I don't mind. That's the price that I pay to live in this country and be able to take advantage of all the things that I'm able to take advantage of. I don't mind paying my fair share, okay? What I have a problem with is it not seeming to be a fair share for everybody, number one. If you look at the statistics on income taxes paid, a lot of people don't pay any income taxes, but they're the ones screaming that people need to pay more. But the most important thing that drives me nuts about paying taxes is I know how they're spent or not spent, as the case may be, and it's money just absolutely wasted. And so I wouldn't mind paying the taxes if I knew they were being used efficiently and effectively. But we are talking about the federal government, so...
Say no more.
Yeah, that's all I got to say. You got anything to add to that? Or
no, we're talking about Bidenomics. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. Today, so I'm already in a reasonably
not great mood.
Well, just I would say sadly amused mood.
This is going to be not a very positive show.
No.
Yeah.
But before we get into it, let's be positive. My name is Tommy Pate. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
And I'm George Pate. I'm also a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisory firm in Aiden, North Carolina. Our phone number is 252-304-1019. Again, that's 252-304-1019. Our website is www.thejourneysgroup.com. Again, www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of articles that rotate through on it. It has our contact information and our calendar if you'd like to schedule something with us. It has upcoming events, which 2 weeks from Monday is the first inaugural World International Invitational Interdimensional Championship Journeys Group Golf Tournament.
That was enough adjectives.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let me think. It also has links to YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And last but not least, it has our podcast, Taking Care of Business, there. Well, it has the podcast platform.
Yep.
So we are on, I believe, 19 different podcast platforms. So as George likes to say, you pick out which has the prettiest logo and click on that, and there we are.
You got it.
Have I covered everything?
I believe you have.
Today, we are going to talk about Bidenomics. I have heard Bidenomics ad nauseum, and I was just curious about it, so I started to investigate it.
I'm so sorry.
Well, this is my research became symbolic of the troubles the United States has.
Mm. How hard did you have to look to find? And I'm not being sarcastic at all. How hard did you have to look to find something that didn't feel skewed one way or the other?
I didn't. I couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah. All right. First of all, we're going to go over an article from the New York Times. Paul Krugman. This is September 5th. It is 2022, so it's year and a half old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to just read what it says. Not the whole thing, but. The article says, has Bidenomics been good for workers? Okay. President Biden has presided over a huge employment boom that is still in progress. That's simply a fact. Although stating it, like pointing out that we aren't in a recession, remember in 2022, guarantees I'll leave a truckload of hate mail. To be fair, many of the job gains that Biden probably under Biden reflected a natural recovery from lockdown. And it's generally easier to add jobs when you start, as Biden did, from a position of depressed employment. Other than the recession comment, I'm kind of like, all right, yeah.
That is all fairly accurate, I would say, other than the recession comment.
Here's where the mainstream media bites.
Here's where we go off the rails. Yeah.
And I'm quoting this. But while the Biden boom was and is real, has it been good for U.S. workers? Ask American workers, and they'll probably tell you no.
That's it. That's the answer right there.
But that's just it. That's not the answer. This gentleman continues to point out how we, the American worker, doesn't know what we're talking about.
Hmm. It's very ironic.
Another quote. So far, however, Bidenomics has been good for American workers, whether they know it or not. Now, those that hear this show know that I'm conservative to a fault, probably too much. But that is a classic liberal left-wing, I know better than you do, I know more about your circumstances than you do, listen to me, you're too dumb to figure this out. So Bidenomics has been good for you whether you know it or not. What astonishes me is this is printed, not that it's the New York Times, because that's pretty liberal newspaper, but the fact that it's printed in mainstream media. That here's a guy, his title is opinion columnist, so he has no credentials in terms of economist, that kind of thing. And he has audacity to tell the American workers, you're wrong. You're grinning. What did you want to say?
Whenever I read an article, are you familiar with the term gaslighting? Do you know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the definition of gaslighting. Whenever I see an article, no matter who it's with, I mean, I'm fairly conservative, so I tend to read Fox News more than anything, but I understand that they're just as biased to the right.
Sure.
Whenever I read an article from anybody, I don't care who it is, and it's I'm not kidding. As soon as I see opinion or op-ed or opinion columnist, I stop reading it. I mean, because it is, if somebody is writing their opinion at a news outlet, it's just not factual. I mean, I have a really, and maybe that's a fault of mine. Maybe I tend to jump the gun too quickly with that. But in today's media, I just have a really hard time looking at somebody who's writing a news article to be published to the world with their opinion and taking that as fact, because their opinion is their opinion. I mean, they're entitled to their opinion, no matter how wrong I may think it is. And so regardless of whose opinion it is, if it's not factual, I'm not going to read it, because I stand to gain nothing from reading something like this. But that just, I just cannot tell you how much that infuriates me. The American worker, the average American worker, is saying, I am hurting under Bidenomics. This is hurting me. I mean, my quality of life, my day-to-day life is worse now. And this guy's got the audacity to say, I didn't want you to calm down. This guy has the utter audacity to look at them and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have to have a degree in economics to understand that understand that you're struggling, right? If you're now living paycheck to paycheck, struggling to pay bills or whatever, that's it. It does that regardless of what this clown thinks, it doesn't matter. Okay. And to say most of the American workers would say, no, they're not better. And then to look at them and say, oh, you're wrong. Oh my, I cannot tell you how much that infuriates me. Okay.
Well, I'm snickering behind the scenes.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you're grinning.
Because I just got a post from the business stuff that we follow. I mean, literally my phone just vibrated.
Oh,
I looked at
Lord.
It. Inflation has risen for the third straight month.
Right before the show, I was looking it up. 3.4% today.
Now, let me continue this gentleman's dissertation.
Okay. Dissertation. Don't give him that much credit.
Right. One of his factual points? No, I'm thinking that one of the places where he gets his facts.
Oh, sources.
Is a website called Real Time Inequality that's sponsored by the University of California at Berkeley. And according to this website, Real Time Inequality, that the overall labor income adjusted for inflation rose 3.5%. Next quote that makes me just want to have a heart attack and die laughing.
Well, I'm snickering because that was from Berkeley, you know, California, Berkeley. Oh, yeah.
Direct quote, but what about workers who had jobs when Biden took office? Haven't they seen the purchasing power of their wages fall, the thanks to inflation? The answer is yes, but.
That's it. That's it right there. The answer is yes. Next point.
But it gets better. I almost can't. I'm trying not to laugh because this is so bad. The decline isn't, but if you look at the hourly wages of non-supervisory workers, that is workers that aren't management, adjusting for consumer prices, these workers' wages fell about 3%. Now, in the previous paragraph, they were up by 3.5%. Now they're down by 3%.
So they're only up 0.5% according to this guy's math and logic. Yeah, okay.
Here's where it gets good.
Oh boy.
But the decline is caused by rising prices for food and energy, which has a lot to do with global forces and little, if anything, to do with U.S. policy. Even if right-wing commentators, and I'm quoting Steele, loved how to point out how gas was cheap during the Trump years. Now, one of the first things that President Biden did, that you got to go to the bathroom and throw up.
I'm before I throw up at this desk.
One of the first things that Biden did was to shut down the Alaskan pipeline.
Yeah, day one of office.
He also shut down the liquid natural gas resources. Mm-hmm. So the rising gas prices, contrary to Paul Krugman, the moron here at New York Times, the rising gas prices have directly been affected by Biden's policies. There ain't no indirect about it. That's the way it is. It gets better. If you want to assess, and again, direct quote, if you want to assess the impacts of Bidenomics on wages, you should probably compare wages with prices, not counting food and energy.
So the two category.
So you American workers that are complaining about losing your purchasing power.
Just ignore the two things that affect you the most.
If you didn't have to buy food and didn't have to buy gas, you'd be in great shape. So you shouldn't count those. I'm probably being snarkier than I need to be, but how in the world can anybody read something like this and go, well, that makes sense? Let me quote, if you want to assess the impacts of Bidenomics on wages, you should probably compare wages with prices excluding food and energy. And on that basis, wages have been flat since Biden took office, end quote. Now, three paragraphs before, he stated workers' wages were up 3.5%.
Then they were down 3%.
Now they're flat.
Now they're flat.
But only if you don't count the price of food and energy.
Now, I will say, sorry, punch the mic.
Next paragraph. So, yes, the Biden boom has been good for workers.
Okay. I will say this to his point about gas or energy and food. I've always thought it was interesting that the CPI does not factor in food and energy, right? The CPI doesn't factor that stuff in. It is excluded from that calculation. And I don't really understand why, because those are the two industries that are most affected during things like inflation. They're what are called non-elastic industries, meaning that as demand and stuff changes, they tend to not react as well. So it is interesting that he's excluding food and energy, but the CPI does as well. So, and I've never quite understood that, because again, most of the when inflation hits. Where it hits the hardest, I mean, you can ask anybody, maybe not Paul Krugman, but you can ask anybody at the grocery store and at the gas pump. That's where people feel inflation the most. When people look at whether this is good or bad, I'm not here to say, but when people look at the measure of a president, they're looking at the price at the gas pump, right? All right. A few years ago, gas was less than $2 a gallon. Now I'm happy if I see it right, below $3.30 at this point, and it is what it is. I still have to get gas, but that's what people are looking at. They're looking at things like their 401k, what the market has done. They're looking at the price of food and they're looking at the price of gas. But again, it's interesting that those things minus the 401k, but the gas, energy and food are totally excluded from any of these conversations when they're the ones that are hit the hardest and that affect people the most day to day. Because you got to buy groceries and you got to buy gas. There's no way around that, regardless of what this clown is saying. You can't get around that. I'm sorry. And so it is interesting that they're just picking and choosing to ignore the two largest impacts on American workers. So, yes, he's right that if you ignore the two biggest impacts on American workers, yeah, I guess things are okay. If you just want to pick and choose and live in a fairy tale land where you can just, I don't know, ignore things.
Well, now, having said that, let me apologize to Mr. Krugman, Dr. Krugman. Oh, no, it's Mr. Krugman. Let me apologize to him because he is the distinguished professor at the City University of New York Graduate Center. He won the 2008 Nobel Memorial Prize. I don't know if that's the same thing as Nobel Prize or not, but anyway, Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences for his work on international trade and economic geography. So he's obviously a very learned individual.
Sure.
Which makes it even more puzzling why he would kind of contradict himself in three different paragraphs. His most recent quote, which I find fascinating, I'm okay. This is posted one day ago on, used to be called Twitter, now it's X.
Uh-huh.
He posted, I'm okay. People I know are okay, but somewhere out there it's terrible.
Let me see what that's in regard to, because I've got Twitter on my phone. Let me see, because he was quoting a New York Times article.
Okay.
That's interesting. The name of the article that he's quoting is "Good Economy, Negative Vibes. The Story Continues."
Ah,
yeah.
So he continues to insist that everything is good and that the American citizen is too stupid to understand that they're in good shape. You're laughing. What are you looking at?
Oh, my Lord. Keep going with that thought. I need to. All right. I got it.
Okay.
I had to take a quick screenshot because the New York Times is trying to make me create a pay to read their op-ed stuff. This is a direct quote. When it comes to economic news, we've had so much winning that we've gotten tired of winning, or at any rate, blasé about it. Last week, we got another terrific employment report, job growth for 39 straight months, and it feels as if anyone hardly noticed. It's not clear whether the good news will dent the still widespread but false narrative that President Biden is presiding over a bad economy. All right. Start with the facts. Job creation under Biden has been truly amazing, especially when you recall all those confident but wrong predictions of recession. I would love to know what world he's living in. And again, his point about, yes, we've had employment has been fairly strong. But again, when you take a look at the employment numbers in context, because context is really important with everything, and to his credit, he made this point. It's pretty easy to make employment numbers look really good when you're coming out of a global pandemic that basically shut down the entire economy. So it's not necessarily that jobs were being created. They were just being refilled. So it's not really a false number. The other thing I don't love about the inflation number the employment number is that unemployment doesn't factor in people that aren't looking for jobs. There's probably a pretty large number out there. So again, I don't really know where this guy's looking or not looking, as the case may be, to say that, number one, we weren't in a recession. I don't care what anyone says. By every stretch and measure, we were in a recession. And number two, that all we've been doing since Biden took office is winning.
Well, I think this is a classic example of someone very intelligent.
Well, book smart anyway.
Yeah, and people that are more concerned with statistical data than real life impact.
Yeah.
I know those of you out there have met people that knew what was good for you. and this is a classic case of big government in this case, represented by an opinion columnist at the New York Times. But big government basically is saying, we know better than you do. I know you feel like you are falling behind, but you're not.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about.
But what is just gets away with me is when they say, and you really shouldn't count the cost of food and energy. I mean, you had to think a long time.
You had to search for that.
Well, you had to think a long time to find out, how can I make this better than it seems to be?
Well,
and so, you know, again, this gentleman literally an hour ago tweeted, or X, whatever they call it now.
Yeah, it's still called tweeting, yeah.
That everything he's good, everybody he knows is good, but it's terrible somewhere. Implying that, once again, that the, in his own words, right-wing columnist, although he would be a left-wing columnist, I'm amused by that, but anyway, that people just don't realize how good things are, and that you know, they're having a hard time reporting on the good things because they're getting tired of talking about how good everything is.
Things have been so good for so long that people just don't care, that people don't even notice how good it is anymore. I think the thing that frustrates me with somebody like that is just the absolute arrogance and superiority complex of his tone here. That, you know, normal, average American, working American citizens are struggling. I think that's a lot of people right now are having a really hard time with the economy, with their paycheck and things like that. They're having a tough time, and they're crying out for help. I mean, it's very, very obvious that, you know, they're saying, we need help. We're struggling. Things are not good. And then this guy has the absolute, I mean, it's like he's spitting in the face of these people and saying, nah, no, you're not. Be quiet. I mean, it's like looking down from his ivory tower on the peasants and saying, nah, things are okay. It's just so insulting to me.
And here's where I'm really puzzled. All right. Remember I told you there was two ways to everything, two concepts.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. There's another website that's called Bidenomics, by the way.
That's funny.
That, that is exactly 180 degrees opposite of Dr. Krugman. Now their website, it says that over time, inflation-adjusted hourly wages have declined by 2%. Now, Dr. Krugman says it's up by 3.5%. Since January 2021, real weekly earnings have shrunk 4.4%. So, who's right? I believe probably both of them are right in terms of their statistics, because I think that both of them can find a way to dummy the math around that.
They can make the numbers say whatever they want to say. Yeah.
But I think you have to go back and go, how do the American people feel? And even Krugman, the liberal dude, even he says they think it's terrible. They just don't know any better. So this is a case where you've got one opinion that we're doing great, one opinion which we're going to go into more detail next week since we gave the left side this week. One opinion says we're not doing good at all. The one thing they both agree on is that the American worker feels like they're having a hard time, feels like they're in trouble. Mm-hmm. The difference is that the left side dismissively says, you're wrong, get over it. And that's it. And that's their answer. Their answer is
nuh-uh. That's their answer.
Yeah. George made a great point. You know, I think one of the things that turns people off about politics is I can't use the word I usually use. The people in Raleigh and in
I know the word you're thinking of.
People in Raleigh and in Washington D.C. tend to believe they're superior to us.
They're not real people. They don't know what the real world is like.
And that's why people don't like politicians, because politicians seem to believe they know better. This is a classic example of opinion columns from New York Times. And the fact that the guy won the Nobel Prize speaks well of him. He's obviously very intelligent.
Sure, absolutely.
But when you make comments like, you know, the fact that food prices are up and energy prices are up is not Joe Biden's fault.
But ignore that.
Yeah, just ignore that. And the fact that he uses a website from the University of Berkeley, I mean, University of California, Berkeley. And last but not least, to say these numbers look good if you don't count the rising cost of food or the rising cost of energy. I'm sorry. I have no doubt he's much more intelligent than I am. But the bottom line is, all through his article, he says the American worker feels like they're worse off.
I do think it is kind of amusing that, again, clearly this guy's very intelligent, yet he's an op-ed columnist for the New York Times.
Not only that, but he's distinguished professor at the university. I didn't recognize the name, like City of New York College or something like that. Anyway, enough random room. We've got to get out of here.
Yep, we'll continue this next week on the other side of the discussion.
Yep. We appreciate you letting us ride home with you. Look forward to spending time with you next week. Have a great week. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.